Number 5B.
All right. So we could say that the Christ order, it's so to say the, what you call it in a film, the when you see the various movements, a sequence, now the slow motion, slow motion presentation of the very fact that God translates itself to the point of idea. In a slow motion, you see how it is done. It's the how of it. And it is actually this how that we should culture, because the other thing is not really something to culture, that you say, yes, the harmony of principle translates itself to the harmony of man and the universe. This is just stating a fact. But that's not what the Christ order wants to show. You see, we must distinguish between the translation itself and the Christ order of translating. And it is therefore more this order that we want to culture today and tomorrow, especially also with Romans, that we'll take to culture that so that we have an inner feeling that there is a process going on that we can feel by understanding how that process goes on. And so we can flow with it. And we'll see that if we don't flow with it, at every point of every synonymous term we can go astray, or we can be an obstruction to the Christ order, and therefore hinder the harmonious demonstration of the Christ order. Well, I think the best thing is if we start and with the Christ order, and as we go along, we'll always be able to come back to this very point, and by experience and exercise we'll feel it much clearer. Therefore, if we take now this new chart which I have given you with the title Christ Order, this one, and I think which you know already from the assignment that you have done, we will go through that again. I have left those boxes empty. I could have easily written in our answer, but I feel more and more that if one really works in a workshop way, come to the conclusion and each one writes it in, it somehow is better. The very first thing you see in this chart is what? Namely, that there are left-hand side column of the synonymous term and the right-hand side columns of that Christ order. On the left-hand side, we take what I call the divinely subjective-objective standpoint. On the right-hand side, really the human standpoint. What does it mean? It means that we have to consider this seventh synonymous term in the Christ order from two very different standpoints. The first standpoint is the divine standpoint on the left-hand side. That standpoint which says, what do we experience in that Christ order if our consciousness is at the point of divinity, if we are at the point of the synonymous term itself, and the synonymous term itself has no consciousness of anything opposite to it. What happens there? What is that consciousness? And therefore it is actually that left-hand column that is so important for us to get the feel of it, because it is going along with God. It's going along with the seven synonymous terms. Not looking at them, but being with them and going along with them. As if you would sit on a ray of light and just sit on that ray of light and go through the whole universe, we would only see light. We would never see any darkness. That is that column which I think we should culture as a new world feel. On the other side, we have on the right side the human standpoint, which I have put into two different categories. Namely, the one is how do we humanly experience this Christ translation when we let it happen, when we flow along with it? What then is our human attitude, our human experience in it, so that we can recognize the signs of the times, that we can recognize the impact of the seventh synonymous term on the human, if we flow with it, if we let it happen. On the other side, on the last column, on the right-hand side, we have that human standpoint which resists the Christ order. And we should feel and we should know the signs of the times too, what happens with us when we resist the Christ order, so that we have those symbols and those experiences, and can define them and analyze them, which will tell us that they are signs of our resistance to the Christ, which means that all what we experience in that last column is not very agreeable. But the main point is that we see that it is the outcome of the Christ idea at work, and not the devil at work, and not the Antichrist at work. We experience in the last column, we will see only very unagreeable things. If we resist the Christ, it's very disagreeable, very disagreeable. But we can't blame the Christ for it. We must say, this is because there is a Christ. There would not be a Christ, we would never get into trouble, humanly, ever. Everything would be very smooth in the human. But because the Christ wants us to go along with the Christ, that's the column on the left-hand side, because he wants to go along with the Christ. And because we want to experience on the right-hand side, the first column, in a harmonious way, we have to know these orders, so that we don't resist it, and if we resist it, we know we resist the Christ, and the Christ wants to save us. So this is the first overview, but as we take each column individually, we see the power and the beauty of it, and see the necessity of being clear about all this. So we start with the column on the left-hand side, the divinely subjective, objective standpoint. What is meant? How would you define the divinely subjective, objective standpoint? What is meant by this funny terminology? What is divinely subjective? How God sees it. What means, perhaps I should first have asked, what means subjective, what means objective, in a general way? Yes. Yes. All right, let's put it that simple as that, yes. Subjective is what the subject thinks, or is aware. You call it the subject, H1 is the subject, so what the thinking subject is aware, that's subjective. Objective is what? You say it's that which is out there. Well, we could say it's that what that subjective subject is contemplating. But that's the object. So we can never have just only a subjective point. The subjective has always an objective to think about. Just as a good English sentence has a subject in it and an object in it. It's the thinking subject that thinks about something. And that about something is then called the object. Yes. Now, if we have... Yes, that's a sign for the classroom. I haven't noticed that before. Yeah? I must be very concentrated. Yes. Okay. So, what does mean divinely subjective objective? You said, well, divinely subjective means that God, as a thinking subject, is aware of its own subjectiveness, what it is, huh? What he himself is, and the divinely object. Now, this is a great point. Huh? What is then the divinely object? This standpoint or view will show how that divine subject is manifesting itself objectively. But every divine subject, this standpoint, has an object which it contemplates. So you have on this chart, after love, between love and soul, you have a dotted line which really indicates this break from the divinely subjective to the divinely objective. And you will see that very easily as we go along, and you see it very nicely also when we do Romans. At the moment, Romans has shown the subject of principle, life, truth, and love, and suddenly the whole tone changes and shows how this objectifies, that standpoint of God, objectifies itself or must objectify itself in the brethren in Rome, in the Christians in Rome, that they must objectify this divinely subjective standpoint. All right, so we start with principle. Now, if we take principle, naturally, we must ask ourselves, what is the place value of principle if it is from the divine standpoint and if it is in the translation standpoint? We must therefore characterize a quality that is able to translate itself. Can you hear now? It said the Christ translation shows two values always, namely the power to translate itself and the ability to translate itself. Yeah. So what could we put there in principle? Could we put there, for instance, harmony, the harmony of principle? Why not? Yes. Do not have that operational sense. Huh? If we put there, for instance, the system of principle, it doesn't show how. Huh? Yes. It hasn't any power in itself, nor a operative sense in itself. Yes. So what would be the tonality of principle here that would somehow express this terrific sense of a principle that is at the point of wanting to express itself and translate itself? Demonstrates? Yes. Relationship? Has that translating sense? Has that a power sense? Isn't that just a stating sense? Huh? For instance, a dynamic power. Huh? See, principle is always that dynamic power. We could call it dynamic power. We could call it all sorts of things. What else could we call it? Yeah. I think that's even better. Huh? I think dynamic power has more to do, I would say, with life than with principle. Huh? Because life is the expression of the principle. Therefore, what you say, I feel, has much more the tonality of principle, namely that it is the potential power of being. Now, the potential power of being, you see, is a restrained power that wants to translate itself, that wants to express itself, but is held back at the moment to do it. But still it has within itself that will to express itself, and that's principle. Principle is at that point where it has that potentiality of being able to express itself infinitely. So I think we could put in there something like potential power or potentiality, which has within itself those criterion, namely power sense, and the readiness to translate itself. It hasn't yet translated itself, because naturally it takes all the seven to translate itself fully, but it gives first the reservoir out of which really could flow that whole dynamic power. So we feel here this is the potential power. See, it's all that water above the Niagara Falls, huh? Niagara, oh, will I ever get that straight? Never, huh? Say it again, Niagara. I thought at the beginning, a few years ago, I said Niagara, and then you laughed. No? I said it another way wrongly, huh? Niagara Falls. All right. See, it's all that water that is above, because if there wouldn't be that water above, huh, there would be no force of that fall. So already that whole reservoir up there is actually in a state of wanting to express itself and flow down. Huh? And that is what happens in being. In being, principle as being is constantly that terrific power, in still some kind of a latent power that sits there, but constantly wanting to express itself, constantly being at the point of demonstrating itself. It isn't, therefore, something that we have to build up first so that it gathers power, but it's already there in its whole potentiality. So it's a potential power ready to express itself. So you have power and translation, both in it. If we go to life here, what Bill said, it is now a living potential power. Now the potential power becomes a dynamic power or a kinetic power. It's now expressing itself. Life is always the expression of the principle. So that we feel it is life that says to principle, I take that whole reservoir of potential power and I put it into living expression. It's operating power. That's a large term, operating power, because all the Christ translation is an operating power, huh? Yes, but a really dynamic power. You just feel now something happens. Huh? It's now the water that falls down. Huh? It's now falling. Huh? And you can see it moves, and you can also perhaps say that, yes. Yeah. So again, with the dynamic power, you have both in it. You have power sense in it and the translation sense in it. The translation sense comes out by saying that it's moving, huh? That it's doing something, that it's flowing. Now think of God. Now think of the divine principle that way. And think already at this moment, I now try to build up the feel of it, no more so much the explanation of it. Now think of it. That the Christ translation wants to do what? To translate the infinite principle God to the point of man, to me. There is therefore a translation going on constantly, if I know it or if I don't know it. Now if I know it, if I'm aware of it, I have a feel I'm always standing under the whole potentialities of God, of the divine principle, of the infinite divine principle. I'm constantly standing under that potentiality, knowing that there is a terrific potency, a potential of latent power sitting there, constantly just watching how it can express itself and translate itself to me. And already here you get an enormous sense of being protected and being taken care of, that there is a principle that constantly watches, so to say, how it can express itself to me in the maximum of good. Then you get the further feel of life as a dynamic power, where you feel, oh no, this power is not just a latent power, it is a power that is constantly at work, it's constantly in a dynamic way, finding all ways and means to express itself, so that we feel under a shower of grace coming down, the grace of life coming down. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to get it through the works of the law, but by a gift of grace. It just flows and flows unto us. Think what the feel we get. Then we come perhaps to truth. Now, yes, the truth, yes. What could we get? What would we get now in truth if we would take ideas of truth that have that sense of power and a sense of translation, it's dominion, you know, yes and no. See, if you have dominion, you always have dominion over something. Huh? Now, here we are sitting on the divinely subjective-objective standpoint, which has no, it does not take into account something contrary. Huh? It's letting. So you get dominion, but on another column then. Huh? Because dominion would say dominion over something erroneous. Huh? And that's not, can you see, that's not the divinely subjective standpoint, because the divinely subjective does not know anything about an opposite. Perhaps you could take that it is a consciousness of power or a conscious power, showing that the Christ truth is a conscious power, which how do you feel, how can you explain that, what the conscious power is? Yeah, that it is power, and also that it knows how to use that power. You see, it is as if at this point of the life only shows something is happening, constantly happening. There is a terrific movement going on. But naturally what we want to see is that not a wrong movement is going on, that the power is not used wrongly, that it is a power that knows what to do. That is a power, a truth consciousness, and says, I know what I want to do. It's so that it's not just applying a power wildly. A wild, at point of life, it could be a wild power that moves and does things. So truth comes in and says, no, you see, this potential power is of the nature of truth. It knows what it wants to achieve. So not we have to know what that truth is going to achieve. Not we know that, but truth knows it. So I get the feel, oh, golly, here is in being an infinite divine principle at work. And that divine principle has such a potentiality that it wants to express everything it has. Therefore, at the point of life, I can see that divine potentiality is constantly alive, it's constantly moving, it's constantly in a dynamic way at work. In a dynamic way at work for what? I must see that it is only for truth to bring out that which truth wants to bring out. That truth knows what to bring out. I don't know what it wants to bring out. There you feel that passive state that you say, I don't know what God is going to do with me. I don't know how God is going to work out the situation. I do not know, but I know that truth knows it. See? So you stay with the truth and say, this truth is a power that is not blind to what it wants to do, that it is conscious of the truth that it wants to bring out. It knows everything that needs to be known in order to bring out the idea of truth. Yeah. So we come to love. What do we see in love? As a power. Yes, Almaty? Yes. Yes. It's a mothering power of a total commitment, total engagement, a total commitment, a total enforcement, yes. That's actually that power that says, all right, I not only at the point of truth know what I want to do, but at the point of love also says, and I put everything that I have into action. I care for a situation absolutely. I'm totally committed to do anything in order that the idea is being brought out. You have a sense of God as love, as the motherhood of God that says, I use anything in the whole universe to bring out what I want to bring out. I use every moment. I don't sleep and slumber. I'm totally engaged and totally committed to bring out this, so that we stand under that waterfall and have a feeling Not one second am I out of the care of beings.